great physician that may behold. And every time I call upon him, he hears my feeble plea. He's the rock of my salvation.
appreciate Sister Bryant helping us get this up a little higher. I feel better. You've done something to help me, Sister Bryant. Feels good to come in here in the middle of the week, and you know, you might have a little bit of the where you've been brushing up with the things of this life. It feels good to be able to come in here and worship the Lord and sing these uplifting songs. And Brother Daniels, it sure looked good to see you come in that door back there tonight. Praise God. Just defies the odds, I guess. I think it was Friday night, Brother Daniels, when you went in at about 2 o'clock in the morning. He had such a heaviness, hard time breathing, and he went into the hospital and they kept him. And he had fluid on his lungs, and of course he just recently got out with a congestive heart failure, and so I'm sure they're still regulating that maybe, but I'm sure glad that he's making amends and doing better. He means too much to us. We can't lose him. And then we're glad to have Sister Chelsea's family, isn't that right? Is this your mother and your sister? Luke? Evan. Is that Evan? Jane. Jane. Okay, Jane. Luke, Evan, and Jane. All right. We're thankful to have y'all. Now, where are y'all from? From where? Near San Antonio. All right. Dallas. Yeah. I knew that. Wasn't talking to you. No. But, all right. Well, I'm familiar with San Antonio. We lived there for 10, 12 years, something like that, I guess. So we're certainly glad to have y'all and appreciate you being here with us. We count ourselves blessed to have your daughter and your sister here with us. And Brother Fisher even feels better about that than we do, I guess, if that's possible. We feel pretty good. Anyway, I'm just thankful for God's goodness and these good words in these songs. That I thought Sister Bryant was just falling up a little bit in that first song of Brother Curtis Golden's message to us on the names of Jesus. Didn't he do a good job the other night on that? I still was rehearsing that in my mind some this week. I appreciated it. And so I felt something in it, and I'm thankful for what a Savior that we're serving today. In this world, it's so difficult to keep from getting entangled in it. We're all right now trying to figure out where Flight 370 went to, and you know, I mean, we can't help it. If it had happened 40 years ago, we wouldn't have known anything about it. But in our day and time, well, we've got the burdens of whether or not Russia and Ukraine's going to go to war, and where is Flight 370, the Malaysian airliner, and all the people that's missing on it. But, and we're just full of knowledge of things that's going on in this life, and And so you have to really focus to get things pulled back in to what the real focus is to be in this life, and that is Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's my focus. I'm working on that. I won't claim that I've got it all accomplished. I know that I'm in Christ. When you come into the family of God, when you're born again, you're in His body. You enter into His kingdom. You're part of His family. He calls you His child. When you're born of Him, He claims you. And and that's a marvelous thing, just to have enough knowledge of the Word of God that the Spirit of God can quicken it to you and cause you to have faith in your heart to believe unto salvation. There's a scripture in Romans that says that where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For he said, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that's an amazing thing to me, that the gospel, this word of God, it's not just words. I know words are, there's a group called Ernie somebody in Heirloom. I don't know what Ernie's last name is right now. And the name of the song is Words. And it, you know, it's a hard song to catch on to. I guess it's why it never made the charts very high. But it has a lot of meaning. That first time I heard it, I caught on to it, and I heard it several times, and then I finally got it downloaded in my music library. But words can destroy. There's a lot of power in words. Thank God we can, you know, if you can let them go, but sometimes it's hard to let words go, you know. I think we're all probably guilty of saying something that it either didn't come out right or you didn't mean it. You didn't really mean it. You ever said that? I didn't mean that. I know me and my wife, when we first got married, me and her both, we're both extroverts. And I'm choleric, they say. I'll own up to it. I know it's the truth. And I know she's sanguine, but I think she probably had quite a bit of choleric in her. When we first got married, I think I just beat it out of her. Not physically. I didn't ever hit her. But, I mean, I just, you know, just maybe overpowered her. I wish I had it to do over again, I'd try to do it different, because I probably hindered some of her abilities. I was kind of like, what was that guy's name, Archie Bunker, that had that word stifle? Till Edith the stifle. I'm probably guilty, and I wish I could take all that back, but I can't. But I think she's found, for the most part, I think she's found it in her ability to forgive me and at least let it go some. So I know words are, you know, I know they're powerful, and sometimes get out of your mouth and you wish you could catch them and get them back in there and never have let them go, but it's too late once they're gone. You have to work it out after you get them out. But the power of God unto salvation in the gospel is a different power, because it's for you to have faith, it takes more than just me convincing you or somebody else convincing you. But it takes the Spirit of God touching you when you hear those words. Whether you read them off of a page or somebody speaks them to you, the gospel is the Word of God. Jesus lived it. It was His life, but He also spoke it. And the Spirit of God that bore witness of Him, He said that. He said, I'm not by myself. I don't bear witness of myself, but there's another, He said, that bears witness of me. And He was talking about His Father, God, that there was a Spirit of God in the presence of God that backed Him up. And when He spoke words, one time they sent some soldiers after Him. And they came back empty-handed. And their superiors asked them, where is He? And their answer was, never spake a man like this man. This man, you know, I'm not sure that E.F. Hutton didn't play off of this. And they say, you know, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everyone listens. I don't even know who E.F. Hutton is. Yeah, I know it's a financial group. Maybe I should have used Edward Jones, Brother Michael. he, you know, I'm bringing up his competition, I guess. They're out of business, all right. So nobody's listening today, huh? Well, that just proves that their words, you know, this gospel, when it came into effect, it's never completely went out of existence. And it's coming back stronger, or just as strong as, are stronger than ever before. But when the Spirit of God touches you, when you hear the words of God, and God's dealing with your life, and it's quickened to you, and you know God's talking to your heart, and you have to respond. You know, I'd like to see us get back to, our nation's going to have to go through some things, but I'd like to see us get back to a place where when preachers begin to preach the message of salvation, that people literally get out of their pews and run to the altars again. That there was a time that happened in this United States, that there was enough need of God. There was enough conviction. God was dealing with hearts. It'll come back. He's not finished with this nation yet. God has quite a bit to do yet to this nation. He's going to restore His church among this people and manifest it to this world. And He may have to do a lot of things to cause the people in this world to seek His face again. You know, when people get things get serious enough, you'll call on God. I don't care who you are. You get down enough, God puts enough prayer. If God wants to save you, He knows how. But I'm just thankful tonight for the power of the gospel, that it's saving me. There is a power in it, coupled with the Spirit of God bearing witness of it, that causes faith. I still have faith today. I still believe I can be saved. I still I'm still holding on to that. How many times have you ran, you know, have you run into, you know, a bump where you didn't know if you could go on. You didn't know if you could make it. But something that you heard, something that the Spirit of God bore witness to your life, reminded you, came up in your life, and you knew you couldn't reject that. You knew you couldn't toss it aside, and you couldn't throw it away. And it caused you to take another step, caused you to get up, brush yourself off, and keep moving forward. I thank God for the power of the Word of God that's been ministered to me. Everything I had before I got here, then after I got here, such a marvelous revelation of the Word of God that's lodged in our hearts, it's lodged in our soul, that's brought us to where we're at. There's another scripture about the power of God in Acts. Let me read that one to you too. It's in the first chapter. Everybody in here knows it. But it's a power. It's in the first chapter of Acts. When Jesus told his disciples in verse 8, he said, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." There's a power of the Holy Ghost. I sometimes think we haven't fully unleashed it. Emilio Green was giving me a testimony. There's a brother we've been working with now for several years. And he's a friend of Brother Green's. And he's been, in fact, I need y'all to pray for him. His name is Brother Ramon Bice. And he goes to Brother Green's church, but he hasn't been all that faithful. But this meeting that we just had really had an effect on him, and he got up and told a dream that he had, that he dreamed that he had a vision. In his dream, he had a vision of Jesus, and he could see him. But then I think it was an angel that came to him in his dream and handed him a trumpet. And he said, "Blow this trumpet." And he said, "I don't know how to blow a trumpet." And the angel said, "Let me show you how." And the angel started blowing it, and he blew a real beautiful tune out of this trumpet and handed it to him. He said, "Now you blow it." He said, "I don't know how to blow it." He said, "Just blow it." And he said, "I started blowing it." He said, "Man, it just was easy." He said, "It just beautiful. I was blowing that horn." He said, I didn't want to quit blowing it. But he said, while I was blowing it, it turned into a Bible that I had in my hands. So, anyway, Brother Green, you know, he told that dream while we were there. And Brother Green was telling me that he's been taking him with him, you know, to different services, different churches. They went to Brother, we got a new church in Santo Domingo, Brother and Sister Vincent, that Brother Green's working with, and he was there the other night, and he took Brother Ramon with him, and he was telling me, he said, you know, this guy's excited. he's really getting excited about all what's, since this meeting, God's touched him and quickened him. And you couldn't hardly get him, couldn't hardly even get him in church before that. But now he's all excited because the Lord's starting to touch him. And, you know, I wonder what would happen if we just all start saying, God, would you touch us? Touch. We sing that song, Touch Me Again, Lord. You know, Jesus one time, he prayed for a guy three times. He was blind. He prayed for him three times, didn't he? Or was it just twice? Twice he prayed for him. First time he saw men as trees, prayed for him again, he saw everything clearly. And sometimes we need a greater touch from God. But anyway, Brother Ramon, he was telling me, he said, I took him with me to this guy, he can't hardly talk up in front of people, But he said, I took this guy with me. And he said, he was a star of the show. He said, I'm telling you, he got up and set that crowd on fire. And he said, and he done some things. One of the things he did, he said, he got up and he said, there's a man in here. He said, I don't want to say this, but I got to say it. He said, there's a man in here that's been running from God, and God, you know God's called you to preach, and you've been running from God. He said, there was a guy sitting in the back row, jumped plumb out of his seat, and ran to the front and fell prostrate and said, I'm the man. Started bawling and repenting to God, I thought, right now we're so careful that we don't want to miss God and we don't want to be in the flesh, but we can't hardly release ourselves for the Spirit of God to use us. But, I just feel like God wants us to get loose. I feel like God's going to do something to release us here before long. I think it's been good that we've really had to be careful not to do the things that the religious world does and get all caught up in a lot of mysticism and things. I really do believe that's good. But I do know that there's an operation of the Spirit that you can't hardly keep it from operating. I know there's a power. This scripture where he was telling him that you're going to receive power to be witnesses. Would you like to have a little more power in being a witness to God? I really would, because I don't feel like that I'm doing everything, that I need to do that would really bear witness of Christ in my life. And I know the overall life we live should be a witness. But there's a power of God in the Holy Ghost. There's a power you can feel. You can feel the Spirit of God when it's rich enough in people's lives. And so, and these powers, a lot of us have experienced them to some extent. They've worked in our lives to some extent. We've tasted it. We know it works. I know the power of the gospel. It works. It's still working. I don't slight it. I don't think it's slighted in what it's done in our lives. And then the Spirit of God, though. I know there's something in the timing of God, in God's time, where I keep quoting that scripture where in the Songs of Solomon, where the Shulamite keeps saying to the daughters of Jerusalem, wake not my beloved until he be pleased. There's something in the time frame of this when God gets ready. And I'm willing to abide and be content until he's ready to move, but I just know we're getting down in the end of this world to a point that He's going to move in a greater way. And I don't want to miss it. I want to be there. I want to be a part of it. And there's going to be some things happening. I'm just going to tell you something. There's going to be people that's going to come back in here in this among this people when God begins to move. It's, I remember one of our leading men telling about how one of the men got frustrated and how that he was talking to him, said, "Why don't we have what we used to have?" And he told him, he said, "He'll be back." He said, "It's just, we go through these, there's seasons in this. There's dry seasons. God has to put us through seasons for there to be a proper harvest, for there to be for all of the different facets and characteristics in this. God allows us to go through things. We go through things sometimes it's difficult. But let me remind you, God is the one that started this work in you. And He is the one that will finish it. He's the one that started this in us. Don't count anybody out until God. We're talking about God's children. And we're talking about a wise Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm thankful for that today. I can trust Him. The song said, "I know He will deliver." I'm glad I'm serving a God. I'm glad today that I'm serving a God that won't fail me. Hallelujah. I may stumble. I may falter. But He won't fail me. Hallelujah. He's with us in our faltering. He's with us in our mountaintop experiences, in our valleys. Thank God for that. Thank God for that tonight. I've been through some times that was rough, that was dry, that was difficult. But God, hallelujah, some way He reached down and touched my life and pulled me up. Praise God, He delivered me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful for that tonight. And I can glory in that. I don't say that I glory so much in, my struggles. But it's my testimony. It was my struggles. But what I'm trying to emphasize is the deliverer, the Savior that He is. Hallelujah. The merciful Savior that we're serving and His greatness. I love Him today for that. There's another power in the sixth chapter of Hebrews. I've mentioned all these at least at some time. Another. Where He tells us to go on to perfection, and this is what we do. If God permits, He says in verse 3, Hebrews 6:3. Then He said, "For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew them again into repentance." Some of this we've tasted. We've tasted some of it in measure, but Paul was living in a time when all of these things were available. They tasted the powers of the world to come. We're still waiting on that taste, I think. We were talking in the foyer tonight. Some of the brethren were talking when I came in, and then they cornered me. and on blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And I said, you know, we've taught. I know when I got here, they helped me some. Y'all helped me on blaspheming the Holy Ghost, because I remember one time I worked for McAllister Greyhound Bus Station Cafe, and I was a dishwasher in there. Just a kid, and I'd wash dishes and I'd bring them out, you know, and stack them underneath the counter where the waitresses, they had just bar stools in there, but they had a little cafe for people that came in on the bus and people was waiting on the bus. And wait a minute, that was the train station. It wasn't a bus station. It wasn't a Greyhound bus station. It was a train station. I know one time, because I hopped that train once. Anyway, and it got to going fast, and I couldn't get off of it, and I didn't get off till it stopped in town at the station, because I was way out from town when I jumped on it. It was going slow. But anyway, I was working there. What made me think of this was, you know, I was raised up in Holy Ghost or Pentecostal churches, and I brought one of those gray tubs full of clean dishes that I had just washed, and I was putting them up, and these two old men were sitting at the counter on bar stools, and one of them said, I spoke in tongues one time, but he said, I don't believe in that. I don't even believe it's of God. Man, when he said that, I popped my head up and I said, you just blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I said, you better try to repent, brother, but I don't know if there is any repentance for it. I just grabbed my bucket and took off for the back room again. Just a little old kid, his eyes was about that big around looking at me. But I don't know what happened to him, but I didn't come back out of there until I made sure he was gone. But I'd come out of me, you know, because I was taught. I was afraid. I was afraid of, because, you know, I mean, I knew that I had received the baptism. No, I hadn't received it, but I'd been taught. And so I'd been taught, you know, that you can't, the blaspheme of the Holy Ghost is unforgivable sin. And that always, you know, stuck with me. I thought, man, if you rejected or said you didn't have it and you had it, you'd be judged forever. That's how I was looking at that. But they told me when I got here, they said, look, it's unforgivable for you to reject the Spirit of God dealing with. When God deals with you, you can't get forgiveness rejecting God. When God is quickening you or dealing with you to repent of your sins or to yield to Him, and you won't, God can't forgive that. He can't forgive your rejecting of Him. And I thought, well, that sounds right. But then when I begin to see there's that world back there, Brother McGowan brought up the scripture. He that blasphemes the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven in this world, nor the world which is to come. And so that makes it more severe. There is no forgiveness. If you died in rejecting God, then we've heard more. We've just like this scripture right here. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost and tasted the Word of God and the powers of the world to come. He's He's putting the whole package together there that if they fall away, to renew them again. Now see, that goes beyond what I was saying. You could reject God. You could reject the Spirit of God. But when you did repent, you could get forgiveness. But this scripture says if you fall away, there is no repentance. There was a manifestation of God back there in the New Testament church that manifested His whole fullness, His completeness. They had the full power to be witnesses of God. They had the full gospel, all the Word of God. They spake the same thing. The Holy Ghost was there. It transformed lives. They were made into overcomers. They were perfected by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And if you sit into that judgment seat, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment, we know that's just when you die, there has to be a determination. What resurrection are you going to come up in? What's your condition? But every man has to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things done, the deeds that he's committed, or the things done in his body. And there is a judgment seat. There was a judgment seat back there. And if you rejected that judgment seat, if you rejected that manifestation of God, and God gave you everything that was available for salvation and you rejected it, that blasphemy is unforgivable. There's nothing God could do that would save you. If you tasted all of this, there's nothing else God had for you to taste. There's nothing else that He could do for you to save you. There wouldn't be any forgiveness back there. And God's restoring the church down here. I think there's people rejecting God today, and God can't forgive them as long as they do that. And I don't think anybody's blasphemed the Holy Ghost down here in what Jesus was talking about. There's a saving power of God that's coming that'll save you, transform your life, and remove the sin nature out of you. And you can't, if you reject that, if you reject this restored church when this divine order of God, we keep preaching. You know, sometimes I think I appreciate it every time you brethren help us a little bit on the wonderful now and now, what God has gave us, the wonderful salvation we do have. Because I'm a firm believer that if I'm serving Him, I'm faithful, I'm obedient in all I know to do. I'm trying to do all I can do. The rest is up to Him. I'm just. He'll do His part. And it's like we were talking, Brother Durham and I was talking some more on these virgins, these 10 virgins. Five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. But they were all together. They all heard the call of God. They all heard the call to go out to meet Him. But the wise had oil. But the foolish didn't have enough oil. But they all slept in slumber. Which, I'm not settled on what exactly the Lord meant by that. They all slept. I would say the five wise at some point were sleeping and slumbering until they were like Ramon Baez. He slept and slumbered until God quickened him. And when God quickened him, he started getting oil. Here he's blowing a trumpet. He just almost overnight the guy's blowing a trumpet. His trumpet turned into a Bible and he's preaching the gospel. He's sitting out there in the congregation. We can't even get him to come to church regularly. all of a sudden, he's prophesying, telling people, you better come fall on your face. Somebody in here is running from God. He could have said, and if you want to know it, I've been running from him until last week. But he had, there's something inside of him that stood up. God was talking. Oh, Lord. They all slept and slumbered. You may wind up in the wise virgin part of this thing. There's a group of us that's under a fivefold ministry, but we've all slept and slumbered. Any of y'all been awake through this whole deal? Completely awake? No, I don't think so. They all slept and slumbered, but when the cry went out, the midnight hour, it was dark, it was going to take light, but the wise ones had light. But there were people there, primarily the Gentiles, that didn't have enough oil. They're still going to have to buy some oil. We're down here. We don't have enough oil yet. But God's given us oil. Hallelujah. That's knowledge of the Word of God, quickened knowledge, which becomes understanding. And God's quickening us, helping us. And before God finishes, I want to be a part. I want to taste this. I know I've tasted the power of the gospel and the salvation. I'm still tasting it. It's still tasting. There's another power that would fit right in these powers where Paul said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. These powers, when they get to working in you, they'll lift you up out of this sinful condition, this sinful nature, and resurrect. That's not a graveyard resurrection. A graveyard resurrection isn't the same kind of resurrection that Paul was wanting, that Jesus had. But he wanted the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that is, of suffering to die out to the flesh. And the power of resurrection of life. I was talking to Sister Gail the other day. You know, she just went through this loss of Sister Elsie. Of course, we went through it too, but it's her mother, and she's closer to her, and she's struggling with all that. So she was wanting to know a lot about heaven. What's heaven going to be like? I was talking to her Monday. She come to church, to work Monday morning, wanting to know more about it. She said, I got to have some help. I talked to her a while. She finally said, now I want to go. I said, hallelujah. Praise God. I just kept giving her scriptures and talking to her about the things of the Word of God. I said, look, do you like this life? Do you like living? She said, well, yeah. I said, if you like living now if we removed all of the negative elements, all the curse, all the things that bring sadness, all the separation, death, if we just removed all the things that hinder us, sin, you don't think you're going to like that? I said, if you like it now, trust me, this same God that made all of this, when he gets this all cleaned up and gets it where he intended it for it to be in the beginning. She said, well, I know Mama. I said, well, sure you'll know her. You got to be you. You're going to have your brain. She said, how's God going to do that? I said, you got me on that one. I can't tell you how God resurrects somebody from the dead and speaks them right back into existence when they went to dust. By the way, what is happening to some of these people in this body on Facebook that's talking about people that are dying and like they're already gone to heaven and things? What's got wrong with the teaching? What have they lost? I know I'm going to heaven, but I know if I die today, I ain't going to be floating around. Don't be thinking that I'm sitting in a mansion on the street of gold somewhere. I know. It takes overcoming the sinful nature to inherit eternal life. But I also know that there's a Savior. Hallelujah! We're serving a Savior that's able to finish the work that He started. Hallelujah! Don't cheapen it. Don't make heaven so cheap. Heaven's something God's been working on for 6,000 years. Don't cheapen it. It takes a sinless life to live forever with Him. But He's the one that has to transform us and help us get rid of this sinful life and give us that sinless life. I have all confidence that He's able. He's more than able to do above what we're able to ask or think. Have you asked Him lately for eternal life? Have you asked Him to transform you, to change you from your sinful nature and give you this sinless life? My, that sounds impossible in just the human mind. But if you've been quickened by His Spirit, if your mind's been quickened by His Word, He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth shall live and never die." Well, now we know that ain't talking about natural death. That's not talking about just dying and going to the grave. But this believing in Him. See, not just believing that He existed. I mean, I believe George Washington existed. That's not the kind of believing on Him that it's talking about. But believing who He is, what He is, what He came to do, what the Word of God, what the plan of God through Christ. This, I said, we're in Christ. If you've been born again, you're in Christ. But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, we're trying to get Him. We're trying to conform. Read it again. Look in Romans 8:29 again. I love that verse because it's a verse that absolutely proves for whom He did foreknow. That's you and me. He foreknew that. I'll just say this, so I won't have to bring it down so minute. He foreknew that somebody like you and me would respond to His call. He planned that in His foreknowledge, that you would to be conformed to the image of His Son. Conformed, transformed, changed, molded, made like unto, image of His Son. We sang a song, "To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like Him." Well, that's what this scripture is telling you. That we're to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, lots of little Jesuses. Wow. You can't get around that scripture. He's called us to be conformed. God did. That was God's plan. that he created Jesus to be the Alpha, the beginning of that plan that he had, and the end, that it would finish, Christ, in you, the hope of glory. When he's finally formed in you, when you're the image of the Son of God. Yeah, that sounds almost impossible. Well, it is. It is in man's mind. It is with a carnal mind. But God, you know, look, just go look in the mirror. You're an impossibility. Yeah, just hold your little Twinkie up and twiddle it around and just say, how can I do that? Who could make something like that? Or this? Or the whole deal? Or anything else that I'm seeing? It's an impossibility. But God. And he included me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, I'll get out from here, but I'm glad about all this. I'm included. You're included. And there's powers. And there's... Don't get tired of hearing what God's going to do in the future. Don't lose where we're at right today. Don't fail to enjoy your salvation today. Don't fail to remember that we're right where... You can't get beyond where God let you go today. But you can get where he'll let you go today. So get busy. Sister Amy. She, you know, we got her working for us part time right now. And every morning when she gets to work, she gets on the computer and writes something on Facebook. I don't know how I feel about that, but the other day she put on there, I'm sleepy. I wished I could have stayed in bed. Somebody else wrote her back and said, wake up and go to work. I said, hallelujah, tell her again. Well, somebody needs to tell us that every once in a while, don't they? Wake up and get busy. Glory. All right, let's pray. Keep praying for Brother Daniels. Sister Durham. Oh, praise God. Yes. Praise the Lord. Been praying for her sister Helen, who's fought, had a battle with cancer, and she's cancer-free right now, but then they thought she had it again, but it's not. Brother York. Sister Sandra's sick. All right, let's remember her, Sandra York. Brother Stewart. All right, Sister Fisher. Brother Fisher. All right. Remember that. Who? Brother Bobby Main, yes. He's got an aneurysm that's inoperable. So we need to pray that God will keep his hand on him. Who else? Yes, Brother and Sister Crow. Keep remembering them. Sister Ann. All right. Keep remembering my mother. She's actually doing fairly well, but she seems to get more, a little more confused than she has in the past lately. So keep remembering her in your prayers. Appreciate it. Everybody's got an unspoken request. I've got two of them, at least. You want to stand with me and ask the Lord? As the ushers come, we'll receive your offering tonight, but let's ask God to meet these needs. Help us. Oh, God. precious Lord. God, touch each one, Lord, that are in need tonight. This assembly, Lord. Oh, God. Help us, Lord, those that are sick in their bodies. Touch them tonight, Lord. Help them, oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, let your power work in our lives in a greater way, Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God. Precious Lord, precious Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Touch us, oh God, each life, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. God, for your help. Hearing our prayers, oh God. Give you praise tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Blessed be the Lord.
I just wanted to get up and appreciate the words we heard about the man that angel told him, had that dream. Blow that trumpet. Well, I can't. It made me think of there was another man back in the Bible, and God told him, said, go tell Pharaoh. He said, I can't. I'm slow of speech. And God at the same time rebuked him and exhorted him at the same time. He said, who has made man's mouth? Who made man's mouth? So let's blow the trumpet in Zion tonight.
I just want to give thanks for this church and where we at tonight. Sometimes we don't give thanks for where we're. I mean, we're not thankful for where we are today. I was out driving around and come down Asher or Colonel Glenn out here in front of the church. And when I came in front of the church, my heart leaped, knowing I was going to be here tonight. And I'm thankful for that because I've not always felt that way on Wednesday nights. But as I get older or. I don't think it's as I mature because we pretty much know that hasn't happened. But I've become more thankful for what we have in this. I think of many times about the cities of refuge in the Old Testament where you could run to that city. If you could make it to that city, if you were unjustly accused or even if you were justly accused and under the old law, it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and a life for a life. If you accidentally took a life and you could get to a city of refuge, you were safe. And I think of this church many times as that city of refuge when I start to get wrapped up in what's happening and all the things that happen on the news. That was one of my biggest burdens there for a while was I'd listen to the news on the way to work in the morning, and by the time I got to work, I'd be playing into the ceiling tiles just hearing about all the things, and there wasn't a thing I could do about it. And I was talking to one of my customers one day, and he had the interesting thought that said we've been, as a species or as a race of people or whatever, said that we've been taught from the beginning of time to only hear as much bad news as what we could personally affect. If you heard, back in colonial times or even biblical times or back in history, you only heard the news that you could affect, what affected your village, your clan, your tribe, maybe even your country. But now we're just bombarded with bad news, bad news, bad news. And we know that you listen to conservative radio and it's the Democrats' fault, and you listen to the NPR and it's the conservatives' fault, and you listen to the NRA and it's the gun haters' fault, and you listen to the gun haters and it's everybody. They manufacture crises all the time. That's all it is just a crisis after a crisis. And I think so often I forget that God's in control. And I wonder sometimes when Gideon watched his army deplete down to nothing, and how the men under him, can you imagine the murmuring and the belly aching that was going on in that camp that night? Going from was it 30,000 to 300? Was that 32,000 to 300? Right, I knew it ended up with 300. And can you imagine? I can't. But can you imagine those 27,000 that left when the 300,000 come walking back into camp the next day? And you think they was talking trash? I guarantee I would have been. You bolted. You left. And how thankful they were that they stuck it out to the end. And I don't want to be one of those that that doesn't stick it out. You know, many times, you know, we're all tempted, and I've been tempted, you know, to just, you know, throw in the towel. This is not for me. I was not called to this. You know, I don't see it sometimes. But when I do, I'm so thankful that I'm still here. And it, you know, the words of Brother Smith, you know, when he talks about, you know, and I take that as a prophecy when he talks about people coming back. I mean, I don't take that as idle words. I really think that's a prophecy, and I look forward to those days. I do, as when we come back together, or and it may be some come back, it may be new ones coming in, but I'm looking forward to that, and I appreciate God for giving me this vision.
Lord, for including me in the house you're building today. And you know, I'm glad I'm here tonight. I hope to be here this weekend. I hope to be here a year from now. I hope to be here 10 years from now. But I've been thinking, you know, I'm getting in that age category where things can go downhill pretty quick. And I visited Brother Daniel's Sunday between services, and it bothered me to see the condition he was in. The first thing I noticed when I went in was how his hands were swollen, and I mentioned that. And then he raised up his pants and showed me how the calf of his leg was swollen. And he said he got up to about 25 pounds over his normal weight through the swelling. So that bothers me to see our brothers and sisters, especially somebody younger than me, you know. But I'm thankful for the spirit that we have. You know, Brother Tucker used to say, If you brothers let this spirit die out after I'm gone, we'll come back and haunt you. And Brother Tucker, you know, he was kind of a country boy. He was very intelligent, but he was country. Best I remember, I think he said, "I'm going to come back and haunt you instead of haunt you." But anyway, what he built here, we've never, thank God, it is still going strong. And talking about the news, you know, Brother Tucker used to say, keep up with current events. And so he believed in keeping up with current events, good or bad. I mean, he wanted to know what the Pope was doing. And so I read the paper, and so I was reading, I don't dwell on the negative, but I was reading the other day about how we're $17 trillion in debt. And this article put that in perspective. 1 million seconds is 12 days. 1 billion seconds is 31 years. 1 trillion seconds is 31,688 years. So you figure we're $17 trillion in debt. That's $17 for every second for the next 31,688 years. So we're pretty well head over heels in debt. But, you know, I think like Rome, you know, Rome was great, but they began to spread themselves too thin. They spread their military too thin, high taxation. But anyway, it's I've been thinking lately, you know, that we should change the name of this country to the United States of Sodom and Gomorrah, because the last check I saw, it was 17 states, the District of Columbia, that honor same-sex marriages. And I got to thinking, you know, here we're the country that's supposed to be the leading Christian country in the world, and yet Russia doesn't honor homosexuals like we do. And then, Russia in Nigeria, if you get caught in homosexuality, they take a strap and give you some lashing. So anyway, this country here has become too liberal, and too liberal toward evil, but anyway, I'm thankful for the times. I know the times that we're living in, and I know Brother Smith said someday judgment is going to come to this country, and I believe it for sure, but whatever man has, he can take it for good and make it bad. You know, Hollywood, California was originally supposed to be Hollywood. In the mid-1880s, there was a man, that H.H. Wilcox, and he was wealthy, and so he went to California, and about 2 years after he was there, his son died of typhoid fever. So him and his wife, they got in their carriage, and they go for rides in the countryside to kind of comfort their loss. And so he saw this beautiful land, and he bought 120 acres. And he told anybody, but he believed in teetotal. He was a teetotaler, and he did not believe in alcohol and all this prostitution, all this stuff. He told anybody that would build a Protestant church on his property, he would give them a free lot. But things kindly, there wasn't enough people there, and things kindly went downhill. And he was he was up to his ears in land, but his cash flow was weak. So he had to sell out, and the Hollywood people bought it. So it went from Hollywood to Hollywood. But whatever I can. I'm glad I love to read, living by myself. You know, I mean, it's. I just love to read, and I love to find out all I can about the Bible. I'm reading this book now, and I know it's. He's probably wrong, but he gives some evidence. But I guess it's not right, because he said that Genesis, parts of Genesis and part of Samuel, he believes are written by the same person. Now that's probably not true, but. He points out, you know, some phrases in Genesis and Samuel that's hardly found anywhere else in the Bible. And he gives a parallel of the story between Jacob's daughter Dinah being sexually transgressed against and David's daughter Tamar. And he talks about how Jacob did not do anything about it. David didn't do anything about it. Jacob's sons took vengeance on Dinah's perpetrator, and Absalom took vengeance on Tamar's perpetrator. So he talks about a lot of similarities. That's just a drop in the bucket of the similarities. He talks about how there are similarities, and so I don't know. It's probably not true, but I'm just open to anything that I can learn about the Bible. I don't think you would ever exhaust what you could learn about the Bible, but anyway, I'm just thankful that I'm one of those, you know. I'm thankful that I'm lucky. In fact, usually when I dream about church, it's good. I mean, it's real good spiritual service. But here, not long ago, I had a dream, and the service was so dry, and I woke up and I thought, thank God, I'm not in some dry church somewhere. And you know, the Bible talks about cisterns that hold no water, so I'd hate to be in a dry cistern tonight. So we're very fortunate, blessed people, blessed to. Have the Spirit, blessed to have Brother Smith's understanding, and so one would be no good without the other, but just praise God for all he's doing.
Something about that, and we're having some kind of party about it or something. When's that going to happen? Saturday morning, 10 o'clock here? Oh, 10 o'clock Saturday morning here in the dining room. If you're as excited about knowing what this thing's going to be, a boy or a girl, you can find out Saturday morning at 10 o'clock.
Brothers.
No potluck Sunday. It's moved to the next Sunday.
Work day.
March
the 29th.
Saturday 29th.
Yes.
All right. God bless.